Would you please turn to Joshua chapter 14? Joshua chapter 14. Give you a moment to get there. We'll start reading in just a bit. And as I'm looking across, I think just about everybody is there. I'm waiting on you. Yes, all of you. All right, now, most of you, as far as I can tell, you're at Joshua chapter 14. Now, those of you who are still working a secular job, or let me put it like this, you have not yet reached retirement age. I want you to think for a moment. Just make a real quick mental list. What do you plan to do when you retire? What do you plan to do? You know, I've heard people talk about, well, saving up the money and going to buy a boat, move to Florida, live on the boat. You know, just enjoy it. I've heard, I'm talking, you know, Christians. Or maybe you've heard something like, you know, well, you know, going to buy a house by the lake. Just going to enjoy the lake and fish and whatever. Or maybe you've heard something like, well, you know, saving up the money and going to use a chunk of the retirement and buy a big old motorhome and see the nation. Just go north, south, east, and west. Just travel. You know, see all these things we've always wanted to see. What about you, though? You know, if you are not yet at retirement age, what are you thinking of doing when you retire? Well, next question. Those of you who have reached retirement age, what are you doing? Now that you are no longer punching the proverbial time clock, what are you doing? Sister Martin says plenty. Now, what are you? Okay, look, I've said this before. Time is a vacuum. It will be filled. So it's being filled with something. I don't know what. And you can make yourself extremely busy with all kinds of things. So those of you who are retired, what are you doing? Well, I get in my motor home and I travel the country and I see, I don't know. I mean, what are you doing? Okay. Now, with these things in mind, and I sure hope this doesn't offend anybody, but one of the things that, if I allow it, it will really irritate me. And that is to hear people talk about retirement as though it's a time of, as though it is their time to do what they want. I'm talking about Christians. And I also really don't like it when I get around people who are, let's just say, use that term retirement age, and they want to talk about how old they are. I don't want to hear it. Don't waste my earballs on that, okay? Because, see, the Bible tells us that once we're born again, we are not our own. We are bought with a price. And that means that once you reach retirement age, you should be so excited that no longer are you having to punch the proverbial time clock, but now you can devote more time than ever to the Lord. Here am I, Lord, send me. See, the problem is a lot of people that are in that bracket that no longer secular, whatever, I'm retired, whatever. People that are in that, what's really been going on in their hearts comes out. Because when people complain about, well, you know, I'm getting older now. Well, who isn't? Every one of you, when you walked in this building tonight, you were older than what you were when you woke up this morning. So who isn't getting older? Come on. And what you find is a lot of people, as they get older, they just start using that as an excuse to do nothing or very little. What a waste. What an absolute waste. See, for me, there will never be retirement. Never. Now, as the days progress, I do understand. Physically, our bodies do begin to slow down. I understand that. That's just a part of Genesis chapter 3. And the day will come when I will have to start, you know, backing off on all of the physical whatever relative to ministry. So I understand that. But as far as retiring, no, that's never going to happen. Never. Do you understand what I'm saying? Either the Lord comes back or I drop dead. One of the three. Two.
Old age. Oh, Brother Martin. Yeah. Yeah.
That's the way it is. And some people would say, well, yeah, that's because, you know, you stand up there behind the pulpit and you've got something to do for the Lord. Really? And you don't. Seriously? And if you're looking forward to retirement as, thank God, now I can finally do what I've always wanted to do, and what you've always wanted to do is really not engaged with the Lord, then you have revealed so much about what is going on in your heart now, and you're not committed to the Lord. You're not. Because you see, I've heard people say things like, boy, I'll tell you what. Man, I'm so looking forward to just quitting, just getting away from this and just living for the Lord full time. Just living for the Lord full time. Oh, really? Okay, tell me more about that. Well, this job, it just interferes with my walk with the Lord, and this job just... Okay, tell you what. I'll see if I can find a millionaire to give you $1 million. You quit your job, and then let's see what happens. Because I'm telling you right now, the odds are you're not going to do squat for the Lord. You're going to sit back and do nothing. You're going to sit around and play on your computer and post all day long on Facebook. You're going to play games. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. But you're not going to all these grand things that you think you're going to do for the Lord. It's not going to happen. And you know why? It's because the moment that you no longer have to answer to somebody on the job and you can do whatever you want with your time, the battle for your time increases. Absolutely. And the warfare will be more intense over your time than you have ever fought in your life. People plan for retirement so they can have it easier. Well, I don't know what that means to each person. Because I do know that for some people, the physical daily grind of their job, it's hard. So I understand about, you know, being easier. But, you know, when I hear a lot of, one of the biggest traps for people as they get older is to convince themselves they're getting older, getting near the end. Well, you know, got to slow down. Well, you know, I'm just not going to be as effective as I was. Well, you know, I'm just not. Are you serious? Really? I mean, why are you saying that? Well, you know, getting older. Can't move around like I used to. Okay. Well, I understand that. Hey, I'm not as old as a bunch of people. I can't move around the way I could when I was 25. So I understand. But this attitude of retirement is my time. I worked hard all those years. And now it's my time to just enjoy life. Really? The greatest enjoyment you can have in life is using your day for Jesus Christ. And a lot of people just don't get it. Oh, you'll know where they're walking. Everybody talks good talk. But when it comes time, hey, my retirement party, we'll see. We'll see. If you truly are serving the Lord, you're going to look forward to retirement so you'll have more time to serve the Lord. Yes, but Brother Martin, there's so much to do. Okay, then do this. Serve the Lord for 11 months out of the year and take a full month and just travel and go do your thing. I mean, is that going to make you happy? See, I already, as a pastor, I know it doesn't matter what sermon I preach. Some people are going to hear it how they want to hear it and interpret it how they want to interpret it and then accuse me of saying things that I did not say. Well, he says when you get retired, you can't do anything. You never heard me say that. You never heard me say that. What I'm saying is, so many Christians are looking forward to retirement, but they have no plan. I'm not talking a financial plan, that's a whole other subject. I'm talking about a life plan. What is God revealing to you about what He might want you to do later on? Now, we're here in Joshua chapter 14. Let me give you a little background. God moved incredibly, got Israel out of Egypt. And then, you know, here they are, and God says, okay, now send some spies over there into the promised land. So they do. They send spies over into the promised land. And the spies come back, and you don't have to turn to this, but you can read about it in Numbers chapter 13. The spies come back, and they say, boy, you're just not going to believe it. Why? It's a land flowing with milk and honey. Look at the size of the fruit. This place is incredible. My goodness. But all of the ites are over there. And we just can't beat them. I mean, there's just nothing we can do. And so they started spreading all this negative talk. What they were doing is contradicting the word of God. Because God said, I've given the land to you. Well, then Joshua and Caleb, who were two of the spies, they stood up and they said, whoa, wait, hold on, everybody, hold on. No, don't. Shh. Listen. If God be for us, we can go in there and take that land. It's ours. God's already said it belongs to us. Now look, guys, we can go do this. Well, then the other spies, they were saying, no, we can't. They got everybody in the camp stirred up, and folks wanted to kill Moses and Aaron and Joshua and Caleb. I mean, it was bad. Well, God sat up in heaven, and He's watching all this unfold. And then finally God says, that's it. I've had enough. So He speaks up, and He says, all right, I'm going to put it in my terms. I'm sick and tired of your belly aching. All of you 20 years old and older, you're not going into the promised land. You're going to drop dead. And your carcasses are going to rot out there in the wilderness. And you're going to spend 40 years dying. But the generation 19 and under, after 40 years, they'll go in and they'll take this land. And then, you know, oh God, well, now we're sorry. Now we believe you. God says, you know what? You don't. Your mouth speaks, but your heart is darkened. No. 40 years. So, for the next 40, there's some people in this room aren't even 40 years old. For the next 40 years, these guys are out there wandering around in the wilderness, eating manna every single day. And then the 40 years ends. So, Joshua, that God told Moses, appoint Joshua to be your leader after you die. Joshua now is in charge, and they cross over into the promised land. Well, you know what happens? They have the battle at Jericho, and they win that battle. Well, then they start going through the land, and it's one city and one culture and one army after another after another. In fact, I think it's in Joshua chapter 12, yeah, from verses 7 to 24, it starts listing all these kings and armies that Joshua, with the army of Israel, defeated. So now, we pick the story up in Joshua chapter 14, verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. Now what's he talking about? He's talking about what happened over 40 years ago. What the Lord said about, because when God said, 40 years, you're going to wander, but Joshua and Caleb, they're the only old people that are going to make it in. And so for 40 years, Joshua, now listen to this, for 40 years, Joshua has been laboring in the wilderness waiting for this day. And he never lost sight of what God had promised. And so he says, Joshua, you remember what the Lord said. Well, you know Joshua did. Now look here, verse 7. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Okay, Caleb was how old when he went in as a spy? He was 40 years old. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. So what's happened is, they wandered for 40 years, and they spent the last 5 years taking out all the ites. He says, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, look at this, lo, I am this day 85 years old. How old is that? 85 years old. The guy's 85. He's 85. Listen to this. He's 85, and he's just now talking about taking hold of his retirement. Do you understand what I'm getting at? 85 years old. He says, I'm 85 years old. As yet, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. Well, verse 13, and Joshua blessed him. What else are you going to do? Some old man standing in front of you, you know, got a sword in his hand, you know, give me my mountain, give me my mountain. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. Now, 85 years old. 85 years old. I don't know how many wrinkles the guy had. I mean, 40 years in the wilderness and the sun and all that, you know. He might have. And they didn't have sunblock back then. 85 years old. He has been waiting 45 years for this. Now, is he going to just sit back and do nothing? No. He says, I'm 85 years old, but that right there is my inheritance. God promised that to me. I ain't done yet. That's mine. Now, Joshua, release me so I can take my people. We're going to go in there and we're taking that. And quite frankly, as I read that, it comes across to me as, I don't care if I have to go in there by myself. I'm taking my mountain. I'm going to go in there and get it. It's mine. Now, can you imagine all these people standing around? said, who's that wrinkly old man talking to? I mean, who's he think he is? You know, talking about going in there, taking his mountain. The guy's 85 years old. 85. He's somebody's grandma's grandpa. I mean, he's 85 years old. And he's talking about going to war and taking what God has promised. Now, what I don't see in here is, well, you know, I'm 85 years old, getting all wrinkly and just can't get around the way I used to. And, well, you know, this body just not what it was back 40 years ago. I remember 40 years ago. No, that's not what I see. I don't see him making any excuses for anything. In fact, he 85, he might have looked like he was 50. I don't know. But what I do know is this. The guy was 85 years old. He's been wandering around in the wilderness for 45 years, fighting battles in the wilderness against all these other nations and their armies and so forth. And now when it looks like they have peace, he says, I'm not done. I'm not done. Because I have yet to see the fullness of God's promises in my life fulfilled. And that mountain belongs to me. That was promised to me 45 years ago. And I'm taking it. But Joshua, you're in charge. I'm honoring your authority. But I'm asking you, release me. And Joshua blessed him. All right, have at it. And guess what happened? He did. He went, he took it. Now, I don't know how many people he had with him. But one thing I do know is this. Whoever was living on that mountain, I'm glad I wasn't them. I don't care where you are. You see an 85-year-old man come charging at you with a sword, you better move. You don't know, man. There's something wrong with this guy. But he went in and he took it. Now, that attitude is one that if we don't embrace, what we're actually going to be doing is looking forward to getting old and saying that the age of our body is making it less capable for us to do something for the Lord. And that's a cop-out. You say, well, what do you mean by that, Brother Martin? I mean, your physical body does wear out. You just said so. I totally agree. Caleb wasn't even born again. Do you hear what I'm saying? He did not have the spiritual life that we have. He did not have the new man created in righteousness and holiness. We do. Now, the word abate, A-B-A-T-E, it means to lessen, to reduce, to weaken, to decrease, to become smaller. And what happens is you have a lot of people as they get older, they begin to talk about, well, you know, and allow me hear this, my strength is abating, lessening, decreasing, I'm becoming weaker. You know, because of that, I got to take it easy. I just can't get up, get around the way that I used to. Okay. But do you know what is not happening? Spiritually, your strength is not abating. Because the strength of your spirit man is not dependent upon the strength of your physical man. And this is where so many Christians make mistakes. Well, if I can't do something, if I can't move around, if I can't be out there doing, if I can't do this, if I can't do that, well then, you know what? Might as well just sit at home. Might as well just, you know, sign my will and just get ready to wave goodbye. Might as well, I mean, I'm just not useful for any, I'm just not, no. Who told you that? Maybe you're not called to a pulpit ministry, but who told you you can't do anything? Who? That's the world having programmed us mentally into thinking that when physically isn't working, well, nothing else is working. But that's not true. Because spiritually, you're still as strong and vibrant. Now listen to me. You're still as strong and vibrant as you ever were. It just depends on how strong and vibrant you are now. In other words, how strong and vibrant have you tried to become spiritually? How strong and vibrant spiritually have you made the effort to become right now at your age, whatever your age is? Because spiritually, your strength does not abate the way physically it will. I mean, eventually Caleb died. I don't recall how old he was when he died. I don't even at this moment remember if Scripture says how old he was when he died. But eventually he died. I mean, that's the ultimate physical strength abatement. He died. Okay. But for us, listen, physically, I may not be able to do the things that I used to do. And I get that. There are people in this congregation, people listening, people watching and so forth. You know, maybe you're in your 70s. Maybe you're in your 80s. And physically, you know, you just can't do as much as you used to. We get it. Seriously. But spiritually, you can do as much as you ever did. Spiritually, you can do more than you ever did. One of the battles is going to be the physical stuff that you see as limitations and hindrances. What? I understand that battle. I really do. But spiritually, you're able to accomplish as much as you get older as you were when you were younger. In fact, as you get older, spiritually, you should be able to accomplish more. Because from the time you're whatever you are now to the time, you know, you get, you know, up there in years and you're the one that's sitting in the rocking chair telling all the kids the stories of back when. Okay, by the time you get there, you should be spiritually stronger than what you are right now. Because see, your spirit man can continue to develop. Even while your physical man is starting to weigh down. And even God understands this. God knows that physically, the bodies, they're still corruptible. The bodies, they're still, you know, mortal. They have not received their glorification. So God knows, yeah, you're going to be slowing down physically. And every now and then you run into some Christians, not me, I'll never slow down. No, nope, not me. Yeah, you will. Yes, you will. Now, I've seen some folks that, I mean, physically, like they're in their 70s, 80s, and it's hard to believe they're in their 70s and 80s because they look so good. And they, man, they can move and get around and so forth. I mean, how many, you know Pastor Bronk down in Florida. Well, every now and then, he likes to run these 5K. You know, I don't even know what a K is, but he runs five of them. And there's this old guy that has run in some of these, and I think Bronk said that he's like close to 90 years old, and his times, if I remember this correctly, were better than Pastor Bronk's. Now, this is a guy that's knocking on the door of 90, or he is 90. I guess he set some records or something. 90 years old. Okay, when I'm 90, I don't want to be running. I don't want to run a half K. I want to run an OK. You like that? Okay, but that's what the guy likes to do. And you know what? I realize not everybody's going to be like that. Everyone's different physically. But spiritually, as a believer, we can continue to grow. We can continue to develop. And one of the worst lies that Satan has been able to get across in the body of Christ to so many people is that, well, when you get physically older, just not as much for you to do. Well, you know, used to, I did this in the church and I did that in the church, but boy, anymore, you know, it's just not as easy to do that kind of stuff. Okay, then you know what? You do different stuff. You do something else. I mean, quite frankly, when it comes to serving the Lord, retirement is the prime of your life. Because now you have more time that you can devote. Yeah, but Brother Martin, I just can't get around. Well, now hold on here. Hold on. Look over in Psalm chapter 8. Look, don't ever use age as an excuse to not do something for the Lord. Because there's always a change in what you can do. There's a shift. God has a plan for every single person. When we're younger, that plan can take advantage of our physical strengths and abilities. As we're older, He accommodates for that. And it's okay. In Psalm chapter 8, look here. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. All right, now, we know in the New Testament, Jesus quotes from this, and he says that out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, you don't have to turn to it, but it's in Matthew 21, thou hast ordained praise. Okay, now, one of the ways to strengthen your spiritual man is through praise and worship. And I don't mean just when we're here at church. The praise and worship, okay, on the outside, your body may be, you know, all gray-haired and wrinkly, all right, on the outside. But on the inside, man, your spirit, it doesn't have any wrinkles. It doesn't have any gray hair. I mean, it doesn't need Depends, all right? Your spirit can run through a troop and leap over a wall. That's your spirit, man. So then, as I'm praising and worshiping, whether I'm 10 or 50 or 100, I'm strengthening my spirit, man. I am increasing strength spiritually to go further into the Lord. Now, granted, you know, we can include, you know, prayer and fasting and the Word and so forth, but I'm picking this one out specifically because the word strength is included in this. When I praise the Lord, I am increasing my spiritual strength. It's like, you know, I'm going to the gym. I'm working out. Look over in Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41. Now look in verse 10. God is speaking and he says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." See, I understand that physically God can work whatever's necessary in us to do what we need to do on the outside physically. But on a spiritual level, He works in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. And that includes strengthening us for everything that we encounter in this life, no matter what our physical age. I'll just go ahead and say this right now. Look, when folks enter that age of retirement, the prime years of serving the Lord, now I understand, okay, I do get it. It's a little bit different for me because I am called into full-time ministry, but not everybody is. But when you finish that secular time, that's secular employment. Okay, now, look at this. You have so much time available that you can spend praying and worshiping and getting into the Word and confessing and actually, I'll use this phrase, standing in the gap on behalf of other people. Because you got folks out there that are working secular jobs and they don't have as much time. But you do. Father, I've come before you on behalf of who? And Father, I know they're out there working their job. I know they've got this. But Father, right now, I come before you on their behalf. And I say in the name of Jesus, and I pray for them, and I declare your word. Do you see what I'm getting at? I mean, you're so valuable at that age. And yet, so many churches, I don't know, pastors don't understand this, and the people aren't encouraged this way. But you are so, so valuable because you now can do things that other people can't. You're able to do things for the Lord that other people can't do because of the job restrictions. And those of you that are working those job restrictions, it's not wrong for you to tap into the time of those folks who are no longer working those jobs. For example, you know what, Sister Susie, look, you know, as you know, I'm working this job and blah, blah, you know, and here's a situation we're believing God for. And, you know, during your prayer time, if you could just remember this and join with us in interceding over this and so forth, okay, because they have the time that you don't. How many times, I don't know about you, but in my past, there have been times I've worked my secular job, and I'm thinking, okay, yeah, I'm going to get off at, you know, whatever time, I'm going to get off. Then the boss comes in and says, well, guys, everybody, got to stay late, work overtime. It's like, what? You got to be kidding me, man. I wanted to go home. And so then you got to put in the extra hour, two, three, whatever, and you don't like that. And maybe, just maybe, you already had it planned out. You get off, you're going to go home, you know, grab a sandwich, whatever, and you're going to spend like an hour and a half with the Lord. Now all of a sudden, guess what? That's not going to happen. At least not the way you'd planned. But see, there is this treasure chest of, quote, retired people. Only they shouldn't be seeing themselves as retired. They should see themselves as having transitioned from full-time secular to now lots of time for Jesus. A transition, not a retirement. Well, does that mean you can't ever enjoy, you know, the non-secular working years? Well, it doesn't mean that at all. You can enjoy it as far as, you know, taking that vacation you always wanted to take and so forth. I mean, those things are all right. But this, the moment you walk out the door of that job for the last time, you have stepped into something that is absolutely incredible. I remember when I, it was in March 1st, 1997, when I was officially full-time as far as ministry is concerned. And I had been working at a bank, and I left the bank. And so anyway, here I am. And, you know, long about 5 o'clock, I felt this mental pressure. I got to hurry and get done. I got to hurry and get done. I got to hurry. And I fought this literally for years because I had been so ingrained. You know, you got to be done by 5. Got to be done by 5. Before you go home, you got to be done by 5. Okay, I'm already home. And it's like, slowly but surely, I overcame this. No, I don't have to be done by 5. I can structure my time to get everything done. If it takes till 7, it takes till 7. Nobody's going to yell at me. Nobody's going to say, but the overtime is not authorized. I'm not going to get in trouble. I now have flexibility to do things I never could before. Well, see, what those of you that are still working secular, this ought to be getting you excited. I want to get old. I want to get old. You understand what I'm talking about here? This ought to get you excited. And those of you who are you know, here watching and you're no longer the secular employee, how are you using your time? Are you using your time to increase your spiritual strength? Or is it just a time to sit around and learn new hobbies? Well, okay, learn a new hobby. I'm not saying, God's not trying to tell everybody here, well, you know, you better be spending that 8 hours a day, you know, praying and doing all. You can, but it's the focus. You know, it's how you approach all of this. Look over in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And look here in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. He's talking about spiritual strength. And if you read the book of Ephesians, there are no age limitations in this. So, you can begin focusing, no matter what your age is, you can begin focusing on strengthening yourself spiritually now. But once you reach that, you know, retirement age, you can do this even more. See, just because your hair's grayer than it used to be, and you got more wrinkles than what you used to be, and maybe you just can't run as fast as you used to be able, It doesn't mean that you have lost any spiritual authority whatsoever. You are still a child of God. You're still washed in the blood, still filled with the Holy Spirit, and He's not getting any older, even though He's been around for eternity. He has no wrinkles. You are, the potential you have is absolutely incredible. And the spiritual strength He's talking about, you know, strong in the Lord. This is my inner man. This is who I am in Christ. Look over in Philippians chapter 4. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. See, if it doesn't matter what your age is, if God says, I want you to go to pick a country and minister, you know what? He'll strengthen you physically to go. He'll strengthen you mentally to go. And He'll definitely strengthen you spiritually to go. But when it comes to your spirit, who you are spiritually, you can do all things through Christ which strengthens you. That strength begins on the inside. That is a spiritual strength. And that means that when you reach that age of no longer working secular, you're able to devote more of your time to serving the Lord and to becoming strong spiritually. See, quite frankly, those who have reached retirement age and they're no longer working secular, don't misunderstand what I'm saying here, but in that respect, they're the most valuable members of a church. They can come in 5 days a week, spend 4 hours a day in here praising, worshiping God, helping to create that atmosphere, helping to create that habitation for the Lord. They can do this. They are able to do spiritual things that other people can't because they're working a secular job. And God's not upset that people are working their secular jobs. That's okay. I mean, in another place, He talks about if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. So it is a right thing to work. However, just because you're getting older, it doesn't mean you're becoming less effective for the kingdom. Just because you're getting older and physically can't get around as well, it doesn't mean that spiritually you can't get around as well. It doesn't mean you have diminished spiritually. You still have all the potential that you ever had in the spirit. You still have authority over devils. You can still speak the word of God and see things happen. You can still intercede on behalf of yourself and family and friends and the church and whatever, and you're going to have results. You haven't lost out anything. And then the day is going to come. You know, I have people say, if the Lord tarries. Well, if the Lord tarries, the day is going to come when your body is going to say, I'm done. And then you're going to step out of your body right into glory. Right into the arms of Jesus, if you will. And you're going to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So if we go back now to the beginning of this message, what do you have in mind for your retirement? What do you think you'd like to do? Will it be wrong to buy a motor home? No. Will it be wrong to have a boat? No. See, none of those things are wrong. But what is at the top of the list? What has been set as your goal? Now, if that goal is a lot of, you know, non-Jesus things, not, I'm not saying sin, but like, you know what I'm talking about. You know what? Pray about this. God, help me to get my priorities in order. Jesus even said over there in Luke, He said, look, you know, you got to love me. If you're going to be my disciple, you've got to love me more than, you know, mom, dad, brother, sister, aunt, uncle, grandma, grandpa, children, and your own life. So if I love Him more than my own life, then what that means is, oh God, I'm looking forward to my retirement so that I can yield more of my life's time to you, so that you can use me more than you've ever used me before. Even if physically I can't do as much, spiritually, Father, you better put the devil on alert, because I am going to tear his kingdom up. So guys, look, I want you to be encouraged by this. Develop the I'm going to serve Jesus my whole life mindset. Ask God to help you establish his goals for your life concerning right now and then later when you do retire. And for those of you who are in that retirement prime age of life, ask him to help you understand, am I using my time the way that you want me to? And if not, help me to correct this so that I'm doing what you want. Praise the Lord. Getting old, yeah, physically it may not be a whole lot of fun, but glory to God, spiritually, man, oh man, what a joy, hallelujah. I'm 85 years old and I'm as strong as I was 45 years ago. Give me that mountain, hallelujah. Please stand.